Welcome to TwinFluence, the podcast. We're identical twins, business partners, and best friends. Every episode will bring you deeper into our lives and give you a behind-the-scenes look at our social media business, life as twinfluencers, and our unique twin relationship. Get ready to get raw and real. I'm Jacqueline.
And I'm Liana.
And this is TwinFluence, the podcast. Welcome back to TwinFluence, the podcast. I'm currently sitting in my office area. Liana, where are you right now? Where are you recording?
I'm recording from our bedroom, but in our bedroom, it like takes up the whole top floor, which, by the way, you haven't even seen my house yet.
No, it's so crazy. Sad. I hope soon.
It's crazy to me that you haven't been here yet. I hope so soon too, but
so many things. I remember when we used to record podcasts together, like in the same house at the cottage.
Yeah, you know? Crazy. I just can't believe you haven't been here. But so when you're here, you'll see that like our whole top floor of the house is the bedroom. And I have like my walk-in closet and my whole desk office set up here. So I guess I'm kind of in my cloffice too, you could say. Cloffice, yeah, bedroom.
Right.
That's the vibe.
Right. I can't wait to see it, hopefully soon.
Hopefully. So today we have an exciting podcast for you guys. We're going to keep it fresh. We're going to keep it light. We are interviewing Dr. Hani Sino. He is incredible. Or Jackie says Dr. Hani. I say Dr. Hani. I guess it's a Toronto accent in me. So if you're not sure on this podcast who's who, whoever's saying Hani is Liana, whoever's saying Hani
that's
is
so
Jackie. Because I don't know, man. Living in Toronto.
No, it's fine. It's like, you can give your little disclaimer. It's true. It's fine.
Well, I want to help people out if they don't know the difference. But anyway, so we're doing an interview with Dr. Hani, and he's amazing. We've been going to him for the past 3 or 4 years, and he's just an incredible doctor, an incredible human, so talented, so compassionate,
yeah,
so kind.
Yeah.
He's amazing. Before we get into everything today, we both just wanted to get on here and say that we share this with you guys because we want to be completely honest about everything all the time. There are other influencers and people out there who aren't so forthcoming about the things that they've had done, and that's their personal decision, and that's fine. But Jackie and I have promised from day one that if we were going to, you know, be in this industry and have this career and, you know, be online and share our lives with you, that we were going to share, you know, pretty much everything. And we really don't hold anything back. And
I think it's important. No, I think it's important for us to be honest about this. Cause I think if we were, you know, claiming all of it was natural, our lips were natural and stuff, like, come on, it's, you know, our lips have obviously gotten much bigger over the years since we've started doing lip injections, and they don't look the same as they did like a few years ago. And for us to pretend that, oh, well, it's just from pregnancy or this or that. No, it's like,
well,
it's
my lips, I will say,
well, yeah, pregnancy did, there are
did
pregnancy
make my lips bigger.
Yeah. That's true. Pregnancy
thing.
Lips is a thing. Yeah. Yeah.
100%.
Totes. Yeah.
Okay. But, I also wanted to say that this is so important too, just because like, if you were one of our followers and you watch our stories and everything, amazing. But we want you guys to know that just because you follow us and check out our stuff, it doesn't mean that you need to do, obviously, if you're inspired by us and there's certain things that you want to, you know, buy or do or whatever, because you see it on our pages, that's amazing. But in no way when it comes to injections are we ever saying, oh, somebody needs to do it or you need to do it. This is totally a personal choice.
We're just giving you the information and, you know, hopefully just giving you the information that you need to make the decision that's right for you. It's for some people, it's not for everybody. And some people like to dye their hair, some people don't. Some people love to do long nails, some people love to do short nails.
I love to do long nails.
And I like my short square nails. So, yeah, you know, like it's, some people like a more like laid back, like look, or some people like a more plumped, like it's, everybody has a different view of what beautiful
really
is, and that's okay.
Totally. And there really is no right or wrong. Like we recently did actually a talk with the doc. So we did a video with Dr. Hani. It's on his Instagram page. And we talked a lot about just like being a mom and, you know, doing things that make you feel good. And, you know, one of the things we talked about in that, in the video we did with him was, we talked about like, if somebody is happy with their decisions, it's not for anybody, in my opinion, it's not for anybody to tell them what they should be doing. If, you know, I have friends who love injections and who like do the exact same thing. And
so
I have
my friends
other
are
friends
it.
Who are like, you're crazy, you don't need it. But at the end of the day, that's okay. That's their opinion, but I'm not doing it for them. I'm not doing it for my husband. I'm really doing it for myself. And a happy mom is a happy baby.
Yeah. I think that's so important to say, life. Wait, you just said something so, so important. Like that's exactly like, you nailed it. It's not for anybody else but yourself. And I think that's really the bottom line here. You know what I mean? Like I don't do injections for my husband. I do it because for me personally, with what we do for our job and things like that, I just feel more comfortable when I have like my injections, my fillers. It makes me wear less makeup. It makes me feel more confident in my own skin. And I personally like the way I feel and look after I get injections. It also makes me feel good. for some, like, I like it, you know, like I enjoy it. I enjoy going in. I enjoy seeing Dr. Hanny. I like talking about different things, knowing what options I have. And it's fun. It's like when you go and you dye your hair and it's something different, you know, like all these fillers and stuff, it's not permanent. It's not like you're getting a nose job when you do like the nose injections. You know what? It goes away. Yeah, so, you know, if you don't like it, it'll go away.
We should talk about that. There is something that Jackie and I have both done. We have in the past, like, we've talked about nose jobs, but it's not something either of us were ever interested in. But again, if you have had a nose job, all the power to you. I'm sure it looks incredible. And again, to each their own.
To each their own. Are you kidding me? A nose job? Like, if I had the time and the...
No,
like,
not the time. Well, I mean, I don't think I would...
Everything. It's, you know, you have to... It's a commitment. It's really like... It's permanent.
Yeah, but I don't think I would... It's permanent. But again, like... For at least for me, I was never interested in changing like my nose permanently. So for me, when Dr. Hanny and we had discussed, you know, I said I wanted to try something and he had explained to us what nose filler was, I thought it was a perfect option for us because styles are always changing and your preference can change. Like I changed, I went through a phase where I was like obsessed with my lips being so big. And recently, like when we went to Dr. Hanny, what was it, about a month and a half ago prior to like Montreal being in the red zone, I was in Montreal for the Jewish holidays and we paid a little visit to Dr. Hanny and we had some work done. And this was like one of the times where I actually didn't have my lips.
Yeah, you didn't
done
even do your lips again.
I didn't, because you know what? Like I go through phases. Sometimes I want them bigger or smaller, or, you know, you want more movement, less movement from Botox or whatever it is. So that's why for me, I love injections because they're not permanent, but again, to each their own.
But it's important to know with the nose filler, like just PSA about it. Like with a nose job, I guess you're like taking away from the nose, you're reshaping the nose. With a filler, you're adding to the nose. So,
but it gives the illusion of a smaller nose. It's incredible.
It just gives the illusion of a more flawless nose, like because it like, you know, he puts in the filler where there's certain bumps and things like that. But my nose, like in actuality, is bigger because he added more to it.
I don't think it's bigger.
Not bigger, but he added filler to it. He explained this to me. So don't worry, Liana. Like he'll probably say this to you at the end. Like he explained it to me one of the first times we talked about nose filler.
Yeah, well, he is amazing, and we are going to get into
what else. What else have we had done? We've done our lips.
I actually tried chin filler. I don't know if any of you have seen the video that Dr. Hanny posted. In that video, I had just had it done, so it hadn't been settled yet. So I don't want anybody to look at that and think that that's what...
Well, because it was a little swollen and bruised because did it. Yeah,
that's what it looks like because now it's completely settled, and it just gave me a more defined... not chin filler, excuse me. It's a jaw filler. And it just gave me a bit of a more defined jaw. And I tried a bit of cheek filler, but...
And I didn't do that. I didn't do the jaw and cheek filler.
Yeah, but I want to put this out there. It does take a little bit while to settle. And so if anybody saw that video and saw that it looks like a bit of a bump, I think after like 2-3 days, it really fully settled.
Yeah, it takes time to go down a bit.
It takes time to go down, so we're going to get on this Q&A with him. We have a bunch of questions that you guys have submitted to us via our Instagram stories.
And we're going
to
ask him all those questions.
We're
going to
ask him all of those. Yeah. So here we go.
Hold on. Here's Dr. Hanny.
All right, guys, we are here with Dr. Hanny Sino. He is the incredible doctor we were talking about a little bit earlier in the segment. We have a bunch of questions for him and I'm just going to introduce him right now. Hi, Dr. Hanny.
Hello, ladies.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing amazing. How are you?
Good. We are so excited to have you here. I feel
so
like
Jackie excited.
And I so excited. I feel like we talk about you on Instagram all the time. So we're just so happy to have you here.
You're very generous. I'm very excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
Of course. So the first thing we want to talk to you about today, I want to talk a little bit about your background in plastic surgery. How did you get into this? How did you know it was something you wanted to do? Let's lead with that.
Yeah, of course. So I always wanted to be in medicine. I always dreamed to help people in the medical field. I love biology and love school. I don't know if you knew this, I wanted to be a cardiac surgeon before being a plastic surgeon.
Wow.
Yeah, so obviously the heart is so cool and I wanted to save lives. Then I got into medicine and I shadowed a few different specialties and I quickly realized that cardiac surgery wasn't for me. The types of surgeries, I mean, it's like a very cool surgery. It's life-saving. It's kudos to those cardiac surgeons. Mm-hmm. But it was a very, single organ base, and I like more variety. And so I start to see different types of surgical specialties because I always liked working with my hands. I'm pretty good with my hands. I do love art. And the first plastic surgery that I saw was a pretty tragic story, but a happy ending. It was a 17-year-old boy who tried to commit suicide. He was in high school going through a rough time. His girlfriend had left him and he stumbled upon drugs. And so he was in a low, all-time low, and he actually shot himself in the face.
Oh Oh my God.
Yeah, so it's very tragic, but the good news is the plastic surgeon was able to reconstruct his face using his jaw, his fibula, a extra bone that we have in the lower extremity. And she used his own nerves, his own muscles, his own skin, and she gave him a face again. I was like, oh my God, wow. We could actually do that?
Yeah, that's, and, wow.
It's so cool. The second surgery I saw was a construction worker who lost his thumb because a heavy cement brick fell on his thumb. And so the plastic surgeon took his toe and reconstructed his thumb. So I was like, okay, wow. This is my specialty.
Definitely.
So
you know what?
That's how I got into it.
Definitely. I feel like there's such a stigma, obviously, when it comes to plastic surgery. And I feel like a lot of people, or at least whenever I see people talking about plastic surgery on social media, Instagram, or whatever it is, there is such a stigma attached, but there's so many stories like the two you just gave us where it just goes to show you that it is really life-changing and it really is life-saving as well. And so many people, when they hear plastic surgery, that stigma is, oh, and facelifts, or it's so fake, or, you know, whatever the stigmas are surrounding this topic. But really, it's incredible to hear stories like that and to know that really there's a whole other side.
Yes, there is. I mean, when it comes to either reconstructive or aesthetic, you're basically working on, you have the privilege to be working on the human body to be able to give this human being what they've lost in some way. When it comes to reconstruction, one of my mentors told me, you're reconstructing the abnormal back to normal. When it comes to aesthetics, you're helping the normal enhance. And that's where the challenge and the beauty of aesthetic surgery comes in. And that's one of my passions have led me into aesthetic surgery.
So interesting.
Yeah. I love that you use the word enhance. We were talking about that before, Liana.
Yeah, we were talking about the best way, because it's hard when you're talking, you know, when you're explaining this topic to people and talking about it. And really, I feel like that's one of the things, especially for us when it comes to injections and what we've done. It's not necessarily to completely change anything, but it's just to enhance certain features. And I think that's so important to say.
Totally.
Yeah, agreed.
So is there like a certain procedure, Jackie and I were talking about this also, is there like a certain procedure that you perform the most? Like, is there like one thing that you'll see often, or is it really just like across the board, there's so many things?
So the way I think I got my reputation in the city is through breast reconstruction. Mm-hmm. My first 8 years of my practice was in breast cancer and reconstruction, helping women
regain
femininity back. It was such a privilege. Basically breast surgery was how I got my reputation. When I went to Harvard, I learned how to do breast reconstruction, but my passion was also facial reconstruction and aesthetics. I did a lot of difficult rhinoplasties, secondary rhinoplasties, like quote unquote botched rhinoplasties, no surgery. I did tons of face and neck lifts because that's one of my passions too. So I would say those three surgeries are my top performed surgeries: breast surgery, nose, and face.
Interesting.
That is so
cool. And is there like, is there a procedure or a surgery that you do that you find more common in postpartum mothers?
Oh, of course, yes. So a big chunk of my practice involves mommies, young mommies like yourself, mm-hmm. That have just finished their family. And unfortunately, having a baby can change a woman's body to a place where she can't do anything about it herself, mm-hmm. meaning that no amount of exercise or diet can bring you back to what you've lost. And this can be very distressing for a woman, especially for moms, because for the first time in a long time, they're putting themselves in front of someone else in their eyes. So
right.
Moms, and especially new moms, they focus their whole life on their partners, on their babies. And it's pretty difficult, or can feel difficult, that they're actually prioritizing themselves. But I share with them that it's really, you're working on yourself for your family. If you feel better about yourself, then you're going to be a better person for everyone around you. If you feel good about who you are, then you're going to be good for everyone around you. And so what I see, generally speaking, is breasts, they do change with pregnancies, breastfeeding, especially after a second baby, and the tummy. And this is a fact that we see in almost every single woman that has had babies, is her muscles, they do stretch. And unfortunately, sometimes it can't come back. And most of the time they will come back, the six-pack muscles. And that leads to a woman with either a hernia or a tummy that looks like she has pregnant, or she looks like she's a bit bloated. Mm-hmm. Although she exercises, although she's not overweight, these are just changes that happen with postpartum. And also we do see some labiaplasties. So the labia and the vaginal areas, they do stretch and they do tear, unfortunately, sometimes. So those three surgeries, the breast, the tummy, and the labia, the feminine areas, are what we call the mommy makeover. And that's something that's very prevalent in our plastic surgery.
You know what, that's something that's so interesting to me because, you know, Jackie and I have been very open about this on the podcast before. So we've explained the type of tears that we both experienced from childbirth. So I know Jackie, you had it like a stage 3 to almost 4.
Almost a type 4, yeah.
And I had a stage 2 tear. And it's interesting to me because I feel like when the doctor comes in to sew you up after you give birth, my thoughts are kind of scattered about this because I do feel like there should be an option. I know it's obviously maybe not the most realistic where women get sewn up by a professional who really know what they're doing, because then essentially, in my opinion, you have a doctor coming in to sew up the area. And if it's not done properly, you're just putting the mother, in my opinion, through more, just more pain and more issues later on. And I know that plastic surgeons can fix tearing from childbirth. And I wish that it was something that more people were comfortable doing or talking about, because I know a lot of people who haven't healed properly due to how the tear was stitched up. I just think it's really important that it's like, you know, to get that checked out and to make sure it's okay, because I know for a lot of women, it's something I see, or I've had questions about, you know, even in my DMs about tearing and things like that. And I just think a plastic surgeon, if anybody listening is having issues with a tear that hasn't healed properly, the answer, in my opinion, is not necessarily to go to the doctor who sewed it up for you. It's to go to an amazing or a good plastic surgeon.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. I agree.
Yeah, you know, you while you're saying this, you remind me of a story of one of my patients. She was in her late 20s after her first pregnancy. She didn't have intercourse with her husband for 2 years.
Oh my God.
And then she came to see me and I asked her what's going on. And she said it was painful. Every time they tried, she just couldn't, and she would be crying. And obviously this affected the marriage and affected the couple. She was very lucky that they had a very strong union. Mm-hmm. When on the exam, from the history, she told me that she had a tear and she was repaired. And when I examined her, I realized that the repair wasn't done in the way that it should have been done. And this is not to criticize obstetricians or gynecologists, because they're excellent doctors. And most of us were brought into this earth by these amazing human beings. But many of them's priority is not the aesthetics. It's to stop the bleeding, to heal, to fix the tear. But in cases like my patient, for instance, and a lot of my patients, it can cause problems, and sometimes it could be a very easy fix. And it's such a privilege to be able to help people like that.
Let's move away a little bit from the mom topic and just talk about some more general stuff when it comes to plastic surgery. I got a bunch of questions to my Instagram when I posted a question box for you. But the first thing I wanted to ask you before all of this, just because it's obviously we're in the middle of a pandemic, and I really want to know if COVID has affected your practice at all.
So like most businesses, well, in the first wave, we were shut down for 4 months. Mm-hmm. And I was, you know, I had the privilege to be able to use that time to volunteer at the Jewish General Hospital, which was basically the phase one hospital that took care of patients with COVID. And I was able to be there in the front line and see firsthand that this is a real thing. And this is affecting people, and people are dying. And the good news is the majority of people are, they do survive this, and they do very well, but there are a minority that don't. So yes, of course, we were shut down for 4 months. Once we did reopen and we showed, we changed our practice completely. We instilled so many safety protocols for the safety of my staff, of myself, my family, and our patients. So we have went above and beyond, I'm very lucky to be associated with a few societies in Canada and the US and internationally. And we have a lot of international protocols, national protocols showing what to follow and what to do to be able to keep our patients and our families and staff safe. And because of this, I would say shutdown of airports, restaurants, entertainment, I find that people are having a little bit of extra cash, perhaps, to invest in themselves. They're at home, seeing themselves a little bit more. Mm-hmm. They can't go to the gym. And because they're not going out and going to work, this is the perfect time for many people to actually do their procedures, their surgeries, even their injections. And even if they do get a bruise, if they do need to recover, this is the nice time, a good time to do that, because you're off. I'm very humbled to say that our practice has been booming. And we have been seeing that across the board.
Very interesting.
That is so cool. Yeah.
All right, so let's get into a couple more questions here. So I have a question right here from one of my followers that said, what is the difference between Dysport and Botox?
Very good question, actually. We have now worldwide three major companies that supply botulinum toxin or neuromodulator or muscle relaxant, if you want to call it. So Allergan supplies Botox here in Canada. Mm-hmm. Galderma supplies Dysport, and MERS supplies Xeomin. So they're just basically different companies that supply botulinum toxin. So it's like saying Mercedes and BMW are cars.
Right.
Okay. And you find that they have different results?
So the studies have shown that they are not different. We can't say medically or scientifically that they're the same, but okay, we can say that they're not different in the longevity. However, there is a new study, and knowing a lot of plastic surgeons around the world, I get to hear about studies that have not been published. There mm-hmm. has been a study showing that one of these products can last up to 6 months as opposed to 4 months. So Dysport has been shown to have increased longevity in some pre-clinical studies. And there's a study coming out soon to show that. And also Dysport starts 3 days to work as opposed to 5 days when it comes to Botox or Xeomin.
Yeah, interesting.
Xeomin, they market themselves as the most natural product and that has less chemicals and compounds into the botulinum toxin. Botox is the original botulinum toxin that was marketed and founded.
Yeah, but you know what? That is true, because I feel like I have tried Botox and Dysport, and I feel the times that I do Dysport, I do notice the results a little bit earlier. So
I prefer Dysport, I think, honestly. I think. If I remember correctly from when I've had it, I'm pretty sure
It works quicker. Yeah, it works a little bit quicker. Okay, another question here is, do men need the same amount of Botox as women? How much should they do?
So it depends on the man. It depends on the area. But in general, men have a bigger muscle mass. So they usually end up needing 20 to 30% more than a woman would need. So it depends on the strength of their muscle and their muscle mass. But yes, they do need more.
I actually have a question, Liana, before you continue. Dr. Honey, last time we came to see you, because I remember we were saying how my lips, for some reason, they always go down. They go down. Liana's always stay. You said you were going to use something different. Did you, if I remember correctly? Because I notice it, my lips have stayed like better than they've ever stayed before. It's amazing.
I'm so happy to hear that.
Yeah, they look great. Yeah.
So, you know, we are very lucky to be living in this time of age where we have so many different companies that produce hyaluronic acid fillers, and we have so many different molecules within those HA fillers, the different G-prime consistency, the different viscosity. We could choose, pick and choose different molecules that could absorb water differently and that could last different in different people. Some are more elastic, some are more rigid. So it really depends on the provider, who is what they're used to, and depending on the patient, what they will take. Generally speaking, I would use a lip filler that's in the medium range for my first-time patients. But if it's a patient like yourself who does lose her product a little bit faster, I would use a bigger molecule.
And we are lucky to have that. Is that just based on how our body metabolizes things? Because I mean, Jackie and I are identical twins, and I find that we both do have had the same, you know, procedures done in the past, like with lip filler, and mine would always stay in, hers wouldn't. So does it really have to do with each unique individual person?
Absolutely. So, of course, genetics does take part and has a big factor to play. Now, in both your cases, Leanne and Jackie, your genetics are identical. So now we talk about environmental differences. So metabolism is related to genetics, but it also is related to what you do in life. Mm-hmm. So the more sports you do, the more active you are, the more you mobilize the area. So, for instance, for my high athletes, they do metabolize faster. So I have a lot of fitness models, gymnasts, figure skaters, and they do metabolize a little bit faster, bodybuilders, and also people that have tics. So some people, they just play with their lip, with their fingers. Some people bite their lip. And chewing gum also has been shown to accelerate the filler to disappear.
Wow. Smoking, maybe because I consume more cannabis than you, Liana, you know?
It's not about the consumption of cannabis. It's about the physical act of pursing your lips.
That does make sense.
Or you're just kissing your husband too much, which is a good thing.
There you go. And I have another question here. How to overcome, this is interesting, I've never even thought about this, how to overcome a fear that I can breathe only through my mouth after a rhinoplasty. Do you have patients who are nervous about not being able to breathe after they have a rhinoplasty done?
Absolutely. It's a very common fear that I see a lot. Mm-hmm. And even with those patients, it never is an issue. You know, so far, and I've done hundreds and hundreds of rhinoplasties. Mm-hmm. And it's true. In some patients, you will not be able to breathe from your nose. But you know what? When we have a cold, we don't breathe from our nose, and we still survive.
I mean, like forever again?
It's for two weeks.
In fact,
rhinoplasty, we couple it. You know, at least because I was trained in difficult rhinoplasties, and I was trained with a double boarded ENT and plastic surgeon. In many cases, I couple a septoplasty and an inferior turbinate surgery to be able to increase the size of the airway while we reduce the size of the nose. So you don't want a smaller nose, and then you got a breathing problem. So in many of my rhinoplasties, I would say the majority of my patients, they say that their breathing did improve after the 2 week swelling went away.
Okay, so there you go. Go ahead, Jackie.
Sorry, we do that sometimes. Just one last thing about like the rhinoplasty and stuff. And if I remember correctly, because we talked about this before in like our earlier segment, and I wanted to re-ask you this, Dr. Hani. When you get rhinoplasty, it's like you're taking away, obviously, from the nose. You're reshaping it. You're taking things away from it. But when you do the nose filler, you're adding to it. It's sometimes, because I remember it's funny because when we first talked about doing nose filler, I wasn't sure because I thought that maybe it would make my nose look bigger. And even though it did add to my nose, for some reason,
the illusion.
It's like it looks smaller and more flawless. It's just so interesting. I really like the nose filler, and I think it's a great option for somebody who's not looking for something as permanent.
Definitely. Yeah, Jackie, you know, non-surgical rhinoplasty or so-called 5-minute rhinoplasty is the way I'm calling it.
Yeah, right.
It's one of my favorite procedures to perform. It really literally is like you're performing art on a human being, and you see the results within 5 minutes.
I love it. Out of all the things we've done, don't get me wrong, I love the Botox, the filler, all the things, the nose filler for me. Oh, I love the way it makes my nose look. And for so long, I've been, you know, contemplating rhinoplasty, but I haven't known if it was for me. And this has really helped me. Like I was most insecure about my nose, and I really like what you did. And it is, you were like molding it, and it is like art. It's like I remember when you injected it and the way you were touching it after, it was so cool. It was such an interesting thing to experience.
It's amazing. Okay, well, we can end it off there, but I want to say one more thing, because Dr. Henry, I asked so many people for questions, and I got a ton of questions, you know, Botox and different things like that. But one of the most common, it is a question, but one of the most common questions and comments that I got was, is he single because damn?
A lot of people said that. No question about injections, but is he single? I just wanted to tell you that. Lots of love for you, Dr. Hani.
Yeah, so much love for you. And we're so grateful we met you. And like we said at the beginning of the podcast, we think that so much when it comes to getting injectables or doing any type of plastic surgery or anything, it's so important to have a doctor that you trust and that is just, you know, educated and reliable. And Dr. Hani, you are incredible all across the board.
Yeah, numero uno.
Thank you, ladies. You're very, very sweet. There's a lot of great doctors out there. They're very very experienced. My biggest advice for patients is just seek out someone that you, like you said, Jackie and Liana, that you have to just vibe with, someone yes. who has experience and the education. And you have to have trust in that person.
And I guess it helps if they're nice on the eyes too.
that always helps.
Yes, definitely. All right, that's it for us today. Thank you so much, Dr. Hanny. I'm sure we will see you very soon. And again, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, ladies. It was a pleasure as always.
All right, thanks, bye.
Peace, take. Bye-bye.
Can I start it?
Why?
Because you don't say, we're going to talk about the work. We're
welcome back. I'm so, so excited to be here with you guys. I'm coming.
Them because they make us feel good and there's really no like mom shit. Ugh, ugh, ugh.
Oh, that was so fucking good. Okay, let's go. Just got the same email.
Ugh, start continue. Again.
No, it's okay. Go ahead. We don't have to start again. We don't. That would have been funny.
No, Jack, no.
Oh my God. Welcome back to Twinfluence. What you just went.
Because I was going to say, welcome back.
Welcome back to Twinfluence. Like, Liana, most people work until like 7. I'm just telling you. So stop.
Jackie.
Oh my God, why is this so hard, Liana?
I told you.
Because we've done it 30 fucking
guys,
times.
So we
Welcome back to Twinfluence, the podcast.
Why are you talking like that? Welcome back.
Oh my God.
I'm telling you, Jackie.
Are we gonna record?
So wait, for dinner tonight, I'm gonna do the chicken. But I'm not doing it with the
How did he go?
I'm not doing it with breadcrumbs or anything. I'm just doing chicken Israeli couscous, that's it. And sweet potato. No, we can't have two carbs though.
Oh my God.
So just I have the call from 6 to 6:30, then I'm smoking a joint, then I'm making dinner. So we're probably gonna eat around 7:38.
I'm gonna work out, come home.
Yeah, so we're not eating until 7:38.
Perfect.
Okay.
So I'll come home.
Because I'm hoping this be on this podcast. I'm gonna go upstairs.
Okay, guys, let's get the show on the road. Let's go. Like,
okay,
who's
Brennan,
he talking to?
He's 1 second. You'll be home by the time you're home. I will be on this podcast with Dr. Hanny. So you need to make you need to give her dinner. You need to put her to bed. For dinner, there is meat sauce that I made, and there is eggplant. If she screams and yells, there's also a pouch in the fridge that she likes. That's pumpkin, and don't give her any Bombas.